Okay, we are on Pesach Daf Tehei. We're on Tehei, right? Two lines to the top. Right. So the Mishnah mentioned the Kulon Eino Bos Elamufkar. The Mishnah mentioned that the Menachos, or at least the Omer and the Shalakim, they have to come from the most pristine of the crop. And they asked which was the Mufkar. They gave them one place, and the second one, the secondary place was Ofarayim Bavika. That's where so now the Gemara is bringing a story that mentions Ofarayim Bavika. So the Gemara is bringing a Maisa that Hashem commanded Moshe that he should do all these osos of mosim in front of Paro in order that Paro will send Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. So when this all happened in front of Paro, so Amri lay Yochana ben Mamre. So Yochana and Mamre, who are those? Rashi says Yochana and Mamre, the fourth line. Roshei Mechshapim Shal Mitzrayim, right? These are the head illusionary guys in Mitzrayim, the head magicians in Mitzrayim, right? Roshei Mechshapim Mitzrayim, the Moshe Rabbeinu. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, because you hit the last of Osos on the Paro, when he started doing the wonders in front of Paro, they thought that Moshe was using magic, not that he was using real, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Lei Yochanan u'Mamre with Moshe, Kevin at Hamachnis Ofarayim, you're bringing wheat, you're bringing grain to Ofarayim, meaning you're going to bring magic to the seat of magic? Who cares what you? It's like going to the marketplace in Ofarayim saying, I'm selling wheat. What do you call it? You're not going to make any money there. It's flooded with the best. Right? Rashi says, Tevin at Hamachnis Ofarayim, Ofarayim, Shehu Mokum Harbe Tzvua, Atamevi Lisham Tzvua Limchor, Bitvia. What are you bringing there for? Right? Kach Eretz Mitzrayim, Shehi Malei Kshofim, Atabal Lisham Lasuk Kshofim. What are you doing? No one's going to listen to you there. So Amalei, so Moshe answers back. The question is, Machlokus, whether he's this is a real answer, or since they ask him a silly question, he gives them back a silly answer. Amr Lahu, Amri Inchi, people are going to say, Limasa Yarka, Yarka Shukko. No, it says people say, where the place where they go grow good vegetables, that's where you go bring your vegetables. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Liir Shagadol Sham Yerik Harbe, Havei Yerik Shalcho Limkor. Lefi Wai, Shemiskabsin Shamako Likno. So everyone's coming already. It's a flooded. You're saying it's a bad to go to a flooded market. I say you go to a flooded market, then you can have a better shot of selling your wares. You're not going to walk into to the builders' convention and sell flowers. That's not what you do. You go to the builders' convention with your wares for building, for materials. So that's where the place is. So too here. So right, Haim Amr Lo Divri Late Sonus. Rashi says, but who hates you? They say it's late Sonus. So I saw a few. A few Perushim had to say this, but I saw online from Rabbi Avi Leibowitz on his blog site. So he mentioned along the lines that going on here is that no, they said a real thing, right? They went to him and they said, "What are you doing? How are you going to? You're going to come here. You're going to come here. You flooded the market already. No one's going to look at you." He says, "No, but Doctor here, I'm going to come. Because Doctor in the flood. This is the place where I'm going to be able to prove that what's going on is real. I'm going to come to the place where everyone thinks they have the best." And I'm even better than that. When I'm even better than that, then you're going to know that what I'm doing is for real. Because it's not even kishuf. It's above and beyond that. If I go somewhere else, it's not a challenge. There's no challenge to go to a place where there's no kishuf and to start doing this nisim. I go to a place where you guys think everything's kishuf, and I beat you all, and I go on top of that, and then you realize it's etzbel akim. That's the challenge. And that's going to be even more proof that it's a Yad Hashem. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Right, so now we're talking about the Mishnah going on about what's going from the previous Mishnah of where you bring the Minchas Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Right, so Ein Neviim, the Rashi says that we're talking about over here is we're talking about again the Minchas Omer and the Shtei Lechem. But Tosfos talks about it says that this is talking about all Menachos. Right, so Ein Neviim, right, Rashi says Ein Neviim. Look at Rashi Ksaviyah. It says Omer Shtei Lechem, but Tosfos. Tosis and Dibra Masa, A may be in. Right away, it says Bechol HaMenachos Kamen. So that all Menachos. Tosis and Araya, whatever. So A may be in, let's go to Rashi. A may be in, let's go to Shtei Lechem. Lovi Deis HaZvalim. You can't bring it from the fields that require fertilization, that require fertilizer. Again, Machlokes will be showing as to why that's a problem. Rashi Ksaviyat says, Lomi Deis HaZvalim. We saw this Tzvich HaZavah. Shem alone is Dabla called Sarka. Maybe it wasn't completely fertilized, but imsu kopei rosei tuchushin, so there'll be weak produce. Loshan akash or zevel mavish and vakakol tam of peros. The fertilizer somehow impacts the taste of the peros, and therefore it's not going to be minha. It's not going to be minha mufkar. The Rambam says that it's talking about wheat that grows like in the garbage area, that grows in the bad fields. So Makos, what it is? So lomi based on zvalim. Below, you also can't bring the wheat from or the barley from below me base hashlachim from a field that requires irrigation that doesn't have sufficient rainwater there, because then we're afraid that the tool there is weak because it doesn't have all the water it needs. Just, I don't know, when you taste wheat with these produce that comes from an irrigated field or from an army irrigated field, I don't know if it tastes a difference, but the Gemara is saying that that's not considered the highest quality of the produce. And you can't bring produce that was the tool that was the grain that was grown amongst the trees. Again, because they say there that the trees are the ones that soak up all the water and all the nutrients, and therefore the tefillah that grows there is going to be considered weaker. The im heavy, but if you did bring them, according to Rashi, the Michos Omer and the Michos Deilechem from tefillah that grew amongst these fields, kosher. But the Eved, it's kosher. Tosfos and Pesachim points out that this is usually with a field of the Eved, we say by the Rabbanans. Here we're talking about the Doraisa. You see here, certain places, even by the Doraisa, you say that there's a tefillah and there's a Eved. So now the Gemara is going to do what are you supposed to do with the field in order to get the field that you're bringing the tefillah to make the flour? What do you do so to make it that it's going to be abundant? So ketaru oseh, what do you do to the field? Nara shana rishona, you plow it in the first year, you make it flour in the first field and leave it the way it is, right? And then you leave it and you don't sow it, you don't plant it there. Ubashana shnia, on the second year you plow it. Zora kodem pesach shivim yom. Then you plant in the field 70 days prior to Pesach, which is on Tu B'Shvat, right? Tesavav on Shvat 7 days before Pesach. Because apparently, Rishonim say that is the best time. The sun is the best time. It's the best time for the sun to shine on the plant. Not too hard, not too soft. Perfect time for the sun to go in. Vehu osis solos merube. And from that tefillah, you'll be able to make a lot of solos, a lot of flour. So the Gemara now says, what happens is you did everything, you brought the solos, and now you're going to bring the solos. If you're an omer grower, this is the Tosfos point raya that we're talking about omenachos. It says ketzad bodek hagizbar. So the gizbar, which is usually the treasurer guy, when the guy comes in, I guess the guy in charge of the business to check out whether or not the flour is acceptable for use as for these korbanos. So bodek hagizbar, what does he do? Machnis yodel l'sofar. He sticks his hand into all the grain, right, into the grain. Allah ba'ava, if I guess there's dust when he brings up his hand, if there's dust when he comes up, then that's not good for menachos, and it's psula ad sheyinata. You have to now work it again. You have to separate the dust from it. Vim hit liya, right, if there is wormy, if there's worms in the solus, psula. Then it's pasul, and then there's no takana for that. Once it is there, it's itliya, that's a problem. Clear two reasons they say. Number one, I mean, what's the problem with having dust or these things in there? So number one, you can say that it's just not, it's not minamukar. Number two, you can say that you have even require specific shiurim for the karbanos, and if you end up having other things, remember, which have pebble or things like that, other things in the solus, so you're gonna lose out that space that's supposed to be flour, and that will be diminished the size, which is a problem. The size has to be done the right way. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. The Gemara says, so Ketzad Osa, right, the Mishnah mentioned Ketzad Osa, what do you do? Norasana Rishona, the first year you plow the field, and Rishona Shnia, you plant before Pesach 70 days. So the question now is, do you plow year one and year two, or is plowing year one, planting year two without a second plowing? So Yivayeluhu, Heichikamer, what's the Kavan of the Tana? When it says, so it says, Norasana Rishona, Ushnia Nara Bizora? Do you plow the first year and then plow again the second year and then plant 70 days before Pesach? Oh, Dilma Bashana Rishona, you plow it during the first year, Ushnia Zor below Nara. And the second year you just plant it without replowing it again. So Tashma, let's try to bring a proof from the following Brisa. And it's difficult for us. We don't live in this society where they started, what's the best way to plant. I'm sure there are people as well as that who are farmers and know these things, but I have a tough time fathoming what's going on here. For Tashma, Disanya, the following brisa. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Af chite kerezim ukvar ochim, even the places that are called the chite for kerezim and kvar ochim, ilmalei smuchos to Yerushalayim, had they been close to Yerushalayim, meaning had they been in the mountains, they wanted to be in the mountains, and I guess not in the valley, hayu mevi'in mehen, they would bring the tzvur for the minchas omer from there, why the fisha ain mevi'in as a omer elam asodas hamud dramos, you're supposed to bring the omer, the minchas omer from the fields that are in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, v'haminunaros, right, and it has to be plowed, l'kach, for purposes of the tefuah, right, shebehen chomazorachas, because in that area, I guess in the southern part, the sun shines in them all day, umehen chomazorachas, and also the sun shines in them as it's going down, as it's passing down the horizon on the west, it also shines on there, and that sun is very important. So these places that's called titik terosim for achim, they are in the south of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, had they been smuchos to Yerushalayim, they would bring them, supposed to bring smuchos to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, the Brayson continues, so Ketzet, that's side point, and that's just the Brayson, we're calling the Brayson in totality, so Ketzet Oseh, so what do you do in order to make the Tevuah in your field better? It says, Nara Shana Rishona, you plow the first year, Ushniya Chorish Vishona, and the second year you plow again, and again, Chorish Vishona, you plow twice in the second year, Vizora, and then you plant Kodum Pesach Shavim Yom, Kedeshi to Smuk Lachama. And all that, the seeds are in the ground during the time where the sun is most beneficial for the growth. The Osa Kana Zeres Shivolas Rasayim. So then, the stalk of the Tzvua is the thickness of a Zeres. Oh, the Zeres is. What did you say, Zeres is? This is the word. Went very late. Yeah, so I guess it's thicker than what you would think it would be. What? This is a zeros in height. One half of an amma. It's pretty big. The shivolas is the top portion of the stalk where you actually have the grains on top. The zerosayim, meaning that the tefuah is very thick because of the way they did it. So you see here that the answer is, you see over here the proof is that you do it a second time. The problem is, it's supposed to do it a third time also, so it's clearly called it. The Gemara says, as the Brisa continues, Ukotzer, then you reap it, Ume'amer, and you put it into bundles, Vidosh, and then I guess you thresh it, Vizorer, you throw it up into the wind to get to separate it, Uborer, you separate it again, Vitochen, and you grind it, Umeraki, all the Malachim Shabbos that you're not allowed to do, you do it to the Tzvua, in order to get the grain to be fine. So that's what they used to do. Or maybe Eitel Gizbar, and then you bring it to the Gizbar, the guy who's in charge of the Osos of Hekesh, and then part of what he's in charge of is the flour for the Menachos. He's going to check, right? He's going to check what's going on. I don't understand what they're checking, right? Didn't we say that we had the Mishnah that we used to bring it, and they had the 13 sieves, and you go through one, go through the other, so they would... this is the Brisa. I'm saying, but we had a Mishnah that says that it's not like the Gizbar would put it in check. Why would you have to check if you go through that whole process? There's a whole process in the business also. Remember, you had the 13, one's bigger than the next, one's bigger than the next, and we go through each one to right, so what? So where's that here? Well, maybe 8-foot Gizbar, so they bring it to the Gizbar. Well, Gizbar machus the other Lusoko, and the Gizbar puts his hand into it. Im ulsebo avok, if their dust comes on it, I guess so it wasn't winnowed the best way yet, right? Omer lo, he says to the guy who wants the solace, you know what this is? This is talking about a guy who's bringing it from the outside. Maybe with those 13 things, that's what's done in the base of Midrash. Maybe that's if that's brought by themselves. But here's talking about someone coming from the outside. So he's trying to come from the outside and bringing pure flour. So he tells him, if you found the dust, you have to go try to get rid of it. Right? Mishum Rabbi Nassan Amru. In the words of Rabbi Nassan, they would say, Gizbar Sachi Odo B'Shemen. He would put more, I guess, a moisturizer on his hand. I guess that's, now it's more absorbent. And then he would stick his hand in. Umachlis besocho, achemale kolavaka. Right? Right, I guess, and then he, what is he? So he sucks up all the dust, and now it's good to be used. Yes. All right, but never the Brisa says Katani Mias, right? It says Shnia Chorish Hashona. It says in the second year they replow. The Gemara says, "Well, Tameh, according to you, Masnisa Mokatani Shona." But our Mishnah only had a question was whether you plow year one and year two. Only two plowings. The Brisa says you plow year one, then you plow year two, and you plow again in year two. Chorish Hashona. So that's not our Mishnah. That's not what's going on yet. That's not what we're talking about. Masnisa Mokatani Shona, right? But Brisa Katani Shona. The Gemara says, "Hello, Kasha." That's not a Kasha. Khan, our Mishnah is talking about the case of Avuda. It's talking about a field that was Harusha even before the first year. So therefore, you only had to plow it twice. Khan, Mishain Avuda. The Brisa is talking about a case where it wasn't plowed initially, so you had to have an extra plowing. So the extra, I don't know why we would do the extra plowing in year two. Maybe do the extra plowing in year one. It's big. That's a pretty duffic answer. The Mishnah and Brisa don't say that. So the Gemara, that's why the Gemara says, "My Habyala." So the Gemara basically has the same problem, that has that tension. Because if that was really an answer, then we would have a proof from the Brisa. But the Gemara then asks, "My Habyala, so what's the answer? You file year one, you file a second, you file year two as well?" What do you mean? We just had a riot from the Brisa that we answered up. Not really a riot, because I don't think it's a good answer. So my Habyala, so the Gemara tries to bring another Brisa. So Tashma, the Brisa says, "Asanya, it's someone who's growing there tzvus minachos." So the first year, he's nar, right? He's nar chetzya, the zoreya chetzya. Right, he plows. I'm not sure how to read. I think it's Machlok. I'm not sure. I think he plows the whole thing, but he leaves half of his fallow and plants in the other half. And in the second year, he does the same thing, but with the opposite. Right? Then, in the second year, Nar Chetzia, he plows it again. Chetzia Zoreya. Nar Chetzia the Zoreya Chetzia. He plows it again. Leaves the other half that was planted last year. I don't know why. Then what's going on? Yeah, but then at the end you only have half the amount. But half from each year.
Correct.
Okay.
You're
taking the
short
field. I guess. But you're getting the grain, you're getting half each time you're getting grain, you're getting it after only one plowing.
That's right. You're only getting half
the plowing. So would the second year's grain be better because now it went through two plowings? The first year's grain, right, I have part.
And then the opposite year you have the other one. Every year.
So it's not year one, year two. You're talking about year one, two, three, four. You keep
right. Still.
Okay. So I guess, but he sees here from the Brisa, it's clear that you plow twice. You can plow in the second year as well. It's not just in year one. Okay. Yeah, Rashi says the Rashi says Yad Nar Fetzia the Zoreya Fetzia the Shana Rishon Lachosha Kula the Zoreya Fetzia Manir Fetzinir. The same with Shnir Chosha Kulov is Zorei Chachi Shlo Zara Ishtake. The Chachi Shzara Ishtake Manifo Nir. The same with Chol Shon. Exactly. Every year you do that. You do it every year, and that just makes it the
right.
Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, right? Ein may be in as Omer. You can only bring wheat for the Minchas Omer. Elamin from the Tzfu that came Sadas Hamidu Ramos. It has to be in the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Which is interesting, because here it's Mashma, and it can be south, but we said before that it's southern, right? We said before that the southerns have to be Samuchos and Yerushalayim. Maybe I should revoke that. I don't know. I hope this close to Yerushalayim just seems to get ignored in a lot of places. Okay, so he says, "Ein may be an elam asodos with the ramos eretz Yisrael, shevehem chamas arachas, mehem chamas shakas." Because there, the sun shines all day, and the sun is also on the fields as it's setting, and this setting sun is very beneficial to the produce. The Tanya Nami Hachi, a Brisa that supports this as well. Avashol Omer, who does he say? Omer Hayaba b'vikas beis mikla. The Omer would come from this field in the vika beis mikla. Right, the Gears and the Brisa and the Tosefta is Omer Yabam Bikos Beis Biklos Shal Nachal Kidron, which is near Yerushalayim, I think. Nachal Kidron, right? It's right there, right? So Omer Hayava the Bikos Beis Mikla Kivash Shalosh Sin Haisa. It was, I guess, it was as big as three saw. I don't know. Saw the Meduremes Haisa. It was in the south. Ubachom was a rachas, Rimenachom a sharkas, and Nar Chetzia Nar Chetcha Bezoraya Chetcha, Nar Chetcha Bezoraya Chetcha. Everything in one spot in the Brisa shows you what we're supposed to do. Okay. Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvye Havile Karna Da'ara. He had some corner field, right? He had some corner field. So Nar, he plowed the field and he left over and he planted half and left over half. Nar Chetcha Bezoraya Chetcha, Nar Chetcha Bezoraya Chetcha. The Abdullah Al Khatre. And he got a double fold crop. His crop was that abundant that every year the field would release, would bring up double what you thought it would be. Anyway, I guess it would be more meshubah, right? Rashi says, what did he say? That's how you're supposed to plow, right? Umizabin luchite lismida. And he would sell the grain that grew in his field for the smida, for the flour that was used by these rich people, some sort of noble delicacy, that he would use the flour for this. And this, I guess, it points out that the souls is royal for the menachos, but I guess he didn't live in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so what he would do is be able to sell it. He took the process that they told you to use for the menachos, and he used it for a private business to make a profit. Okay. Mishnah continues, the in his liya, if there were worms in the grain, sula, then it's possible. So Tanarabonon, Lorena Braisa, Solas Shehitliya Ruba, the solas, the flour that is wormy for the most part, sula. Even chitin shehitliya ruban psula. Even the prior stage, the stalks that are wormy, if it's rolled, then it's possible. So here comes Arav Yirmiya. Vayir of Yirmiya. When the Mishnah says, when the Braisa says that the chitin that became wormy, if rove or wormy, it's puzzle, it's berov chita or berov sa. Does it mean that the majority of each of the stalk of wheat is wormy, or the majority of the stalks in the pile are wormy? Which one? Take two. Mar doesn't have an answer. Okay. Vayi Rava S. Hikdishon. Let's say you were makdish these stalks that have worms in it, and therefore they're pusel. So it's a balmum, so to speak. So Higdishon Maushal Yukala Mishum Balmum. If I'm makish a balmum as a carbon, that's a problem. Because you have that's an isser, and therefore you get marvels. I guess there's a lot. Right? Right, in Tamura we said, Tamura and Davab is a makish balmum in loke. So is this considered a balmum? Because it's pusel, it's a mum for the carbon. So Gemara asks, what is the state's kladim? Kavon de pasil, since it's pasil and mizbeah, sheval mum domi, so it's considered like a val mum, and therefore you get makus. O dilma ain't val mum ela behema. Maybe this is just pasil, but the content of a val mum, right, that only applies to a behema, and therefore you won't get makus. So Gemara says, take him. Tan hasam, we learn in the Mishnah Masech of Midos, that kol eitz shenimsa botolas, any piece of wood that has that's wormy, right, you had the kohanim used to check for the wood. So any piece of wood that's wormy, pasul l'gavi mizbeach. That's pasul for the mizbeach. So this is my focus of what it means pasul l'gavi mizbeach. Does it mean talking about the eitzim that you used for the ma'aracha, or there was a concept also of actually being makdish a korban eitzim to be burnt on the mizbeach, not for the ma'aracha. So Amar Shmuel lo shanu that they're pasul el alah, only if it's moist. I guess then you can't get out the worms. But if the wood is dry, go over kosher. I guess you can scrape it out. You can dig it out, carve it out, and then it would be kosher. So Vayi Rava asked the following shayla: Higdisho. Let's say you were makdish this talas, this wormy wood, to the Beit Hamikdash. The question is, what does it mean higdisho to what? Look at Tosos. Tosos says Vayi Rava higdisho marshi yuka shemi yishum shvichuso had the azul ibayi leyakol chad bechad. He's asking, why do you have to ask all these shayos? You already asked it on, once you were asking on the menachos, you're talking about non-animals, about the balmum. Why are you asking again? If it's a tekel there, what would be a tekel here? So he says, maybe it's a shikusa. Then you ask him on each case, the nearer the body, the etzim aliba, the rebbe, the el, the komet rabba, the etzim karban gomeru, the shayach man lo sakrifu. Because why are you asking the question again? Because I mentioned before, maybe we're talking about over here, not etzim that are going to be used for the maracha, but etzim that are actually brought as a karban. So now this is, okay, maybe you don't get Malkos if you're makdish the solas, because that's not the carbon yet. That has to be worked before it becomes the carbon. But here we're talking about the eighth are actually a carbon.
I guess the
eighth
is what is used to cook up.
Right. Gemara says, "Avoy Rabbi Gishem Ashiyuku Alav Mishum Ba'Mum came in the Pasuk about Mum Dami." Maybe since it's Pasuk about Mum, Odilma Ain Ba'Mum Noeg Ela Behema. Maybe Ba'Mum is only knowing by a Behema. Okay, fine. Okay, so what's the answer? Take him. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah now talks about the oil that they would mix in the menachos. So now for us, the Mishnah is going to mention where you should bring this oil from. And the place you should bring from is Tekoa. So we'll go from Tekoa. Where did it Tekoa about the oil? From the story of Hanukkah. Right? So the whole question is why I had to wait 8 days, whatever like that. They said, because I had to go to Tekoa. Tekoa was apparently a 4-day journey from Yerushalayim. 4 days there, 4 days back. That's why the miracle lasted eight days. That's Tekoa, right? That's in Nachal, it's in Yehuda. Okay. So that's from Tekoa. Tekoa Alpha. Tekoa is the alpha place to bring it. That's the best place to bring a Bam L'Shemen. Abashol, what's the secondary place? What's the beta place? Abashol, Shniela Regev Eiver HaYarding. The place called Regev on the east side of the Jordan River, that is the second best oil to get it from. Fine. Kol Aratzos, all lands, Hayukshiros. You can bring Shemen from anywhere. You don't have to bring it, no thing about it, it has to be there. Stroll, you can bring Shemen from anywhere. Ella, Mikan, Hayumeviyim. But these are the places where they brought it because these were the Minamukha. This was the most Zachar. This was the best oil. Right? Aiden, again, so say the same thing we said before. Aimeviyim, Lomi Beis Hazvalin. You can't bring it from the fertilized fields. Lomi Beis Hashlachim. You can't bring it from the irrigated fields. Below Min Masha, Nizra, Binayim. And you can't bring it from a field that has, I guess, a non-olive grove. That has other things growing there. So you're coming from a place where you're only growing olives, because I guess the other things will take and sap the nutrients. But in Havi, if you brought it from any other places, kosher, it's still kosher. But ein mevi'in anpaktan, right? You don't bring shemen called anpaktan, right? Which I don't know how we translate it. And they call it it's called shemen hamor, which means it's grown from olives that didn't reach a third of their growth yet. Immature olives are used to the shemen. It's not minamufka for the menachos. V'im hevi kosher, or b'diavad it's kosher. So ein mevi'in min hagar girin shenishru b'mayim. You can't bring it from the oil from the olives that were, I guess, soaked in water. I guess the water is also destructive to the oil. The lo min hakivashim, and you can't bring it from the zaysim that were, I guess, were soaked in vinegar or salt, right? Colors from mevusa. What? Yeah, but maybe, okay. The low min hashlukim, and you can't have anything that was cooked in water. I guess because the oil that comes out from here is not meshuba. But in these cases, in Haiti pasul, then it's purely pasul if they brought it out. Fine, those are pasul. So now the Gemara is going to bring the stories regarding the mila of the people in Tekoa. Right. So this is a story that took place. This is after the revolt. Then Yoav wants to make peace, so he wants to bring a very smart person to David to give him a muscle. So Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sends to Tekoa Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama to bring a very wise woman to come talk to David, I guess. So Gemara says Maishna Tekoa. Why stop him from Tekoa that you have to bring this person? Right. So Amr of Yochanan. Right. Right. Why can't you find it anywhere else? So Amar Rav Yochanan mitoch sheregilin b'shemen zayis. The people in Tekoa often drink the olive oil, and chacham atzuy behen. We say that olive oil makes you smart. So that's why he went to Tekoa, and therefore we see that the oil in Tekoa was the best. So like Gemara in Horios, and after Gimel Aviz in Horios, that shemen zayis revives your memory. So therefore, I guess this is Rabbi Yochanan as well. He's saying that the oil is good for you. That's why he says he brought it to Tekoa. The Tana Rabbanon, okay, the Torah says in the bracha that Moshe gave to Asher, which I guess Tekoa is in Shevet Asher, I guess, V'tovel b'shemen raglo. He's going to dip in the oil on his feet. Zeh helko Shevet Asher. That's where Asher is. That's where all the oil is going to be. Shemoshech shemen kimayan. Because over there, the oil is going to be as abundant as a flow of water. Okay? Amru. Okay? Interesting story now. Amru. So the Anashim, people told the story that took place in Shevet Asher. Pam achas nitzchu lahen anshei Ludkiya b'shemen. The people of Ludkiya needed oil. Okay? Minu lahen polmostus echa. They appointed some guy to be their shliach. V'amru lo, and they said to him, lech v'hadei lanu shemen. Go bring us oil. B'meya ribui. I guess it's got to be oil that's bought at a price of what's that? 1,100 dinar? What? A million, Meir Reboy. Right, okay, 1,000,000 mar. 100 times 1,000. Okay. So, Halach to Yerushalayim. So he goes to Yerushalayim to buy the Shemen. I'm not sure why he went to Yerushalayim. Amrulon, people Yerushalayim said, we don't sell oil here. So, Lech Litzor. Go to the city of Tzor. Right? Go to the city of Tzor and buy it from there. Halach Litzor. They said to him, Amrulon, Lech Legush Cholav. Go to the place of Gush Cholav. I'm going to go to Kakoa. What? Gush Cholav is in the Galio. Maybe it's a different Gush Cholav. That's where Asher was. It was there also. But I think we say it's the best to go to Tekoa. Tekoa is also more north. I guess they say here that Gush, that maybe there's like the area, and these are different. I think Gush Cholav may be the province, so to speak, and Tekoa is like a city in there. Okay, so he went to Gush Cholav. Halva Gush Cholav, Amr Lo, so people said to him, Leit Eitzel Ploni Lasodei Halaz, go to Ploni at this field, and he'll sell you the Shemen. So he went, Mitzao, and he found this guy, Shaya Ozek Taka Zesav. He was digging underneath his trees. Like, he's looking like, he's like an oni. He was very careful. He was doing his own work on his own olive grove. Right, Amr Lo, so the Shliach said to this owner of the field, Yeshlecha Shemen B'mei Riboy, can I buy Shemen that's worth like 1,000,000 dinar, Shani Tzareth, and I need Amrullah. He says to him, he says back to the Shliach, Hantin li Acha Sayim Malachi. You gotta wait here till I finish my work. Yeah, it's a great business deal you got there. I'm not gonna jump on the opportunity right away. Let me finish what I gotta do here. So let me finish over here. The guy's willing to sell him, to buy $1,000,000 worth of something, and he doesn't jump at it yet. The Hintin Acha Sayim Malachi. And then he waits until he finishes Malacha. La'acha Shasi, and after the Baal Sod that finished working, La'acha Shasi Malachi, Hivshil Kelev Lachorav, he took all his Kelim, swung it on his back, and he was removing, I guess, the stones from the field, like, and this is also the way a poor person does it, he was doing his own work, but Amalo, so the Shliach says again, Yeshlech Shem Kamei Ribu, you had the oil to sell to me, so Kimaduma Ani Yisheshchok Sakhubi Yehudim, it seems to me that they fooled me, they said you to send me to you. You're not some owner who has all this. You're a poor guy who's doing his own work on the fields. I guess he's actually a very rich guy. He's a big muster that, you know, get your hands down and dirty, even if you got it all. Right? So, Kaven Shigila Iro, so when the Jew got back to his town, Hotsiolo Shivchaso Kumkum Shofamim, his Shivcha brought out, I guess, a pitcher of hot water, Virachatzbo Yoda Viraglov, and he washed his hands and his feet. Now he sees he's really a wealthy guy. Hotsiolo, and he brought out Sefel Shel Zahav Milei Shemen, some golden flasks filled with oil. The tub of oil of Viraglav, and then he anointed his hands and feet with the oil. The Kayim Ashenemar, and this is Mekayim what it says about Asher Vetova B'Shemen Raglav. That's what the Bracha said. There's enough oil there that he's dipping his hands in the oil. La'ocher She'ochel B'Shasu. So then he eats and he drinks. It's really good. It's really stringing him along. The Ocher She'ochel B'Shasu. Then he measured him Shemen B'Meir Riboy. So Amr Lo, so the Jew says to the Shliach, Kluma Katzorach Yosef, you need more than this? Oh, you need more? I can give you more. You want more? I'll sell you more. So Amr Lo, hey, this guy said, yeah, I want more. The only problem is, I'll certainly dump. I don't have the money for it. I only had $1,000,000. I didn't bring any more. But this oil here is great. I would buy more if I had it. So Amr Lo, so now the Jew takes advantage of the opportunity. He says, wait a second. You want more? Imat HaRosh Alika? No problem. I'll give it to you, and I'll go with you. When you get to your house, you pay me back when you get there. I'll just go on the way with you. So Amalo, Ima Tarot, Likach, Kach, Vani, Elef, Imcha, the Etol, Dama, and I'll take the money. Madavlo, Shemen, Vishmona, Asar, Riboy. I guess 18 million dinar worth of oil. So Amru, they said that Lo, Hiniach, Oso, Ish, Lo, Sus, Lo, Per, Lo, Gav, Lo, Choro, Yisrael, Lo, Sokoro. He rented all the transportation that he can get in order to schlep back the oil. So I don't say he didn't have enough money to buy the oil, but he had enough money to rent all the what? He's buying what? The
oil.
Yeah, but the peret and the gamal, the chamor that he had to rent, He had to pay for those. Okay? So Kevan Shigili, I don't understand what the point of the story is. Kevan Shigili, you know, when he got to a city, Yotsu Anshi Iro Kaso. So everyone came back to give, you know, to praise him. So Amar Lahem, Lo Li Kalsuni, don't praise me. El Azesha by me, praise this guy. He's the guy who has all the oil. Shemad Li Shemid Meiriboy, right? He gave me a million mayor worth of oil. And not only that, the Hare Nosha B. And now he wants me to pay another 18 million for the other shaman that I have. L'kayim ha-shenemar, and this, the Bryce says, what was the Jew doing? He was doing all this work. L'kayim ha-shenemar, yesh mit asher ve'ein kol mit roshesh v'hon rav. Right? In Mishle, it's a big Mishle over here. And you have some people that show that they have a lot when they really have a little, right? Yesh mit asher ve'ein kol. He thinks he puts himself off to being rich. Ve'ein kol doesn't have much. Then you have Mitro Shesh, the guy who puts himself low, the Hon Rav, and he actually has a lot. In other words, you're not supposed to show off your wares so much. That's the Gemara, there's a famous Kiyokar in Dvar, right? It says, Shnulachem Tzafona. Shnulachem Tzafona, but Raza mentioned it all the time. So he says, well, turn yourself north. What does it mean north? The Kiyokar says, Tzafona comes from Lashon Tzafun, hidden. You're going now to visit, you know, Esav and Amon and Moab. And you have all this wealth. Hide your wealth. You don't have to be so flamboyant. Yeah, make it a low profile, and that's what's going to be. So the Kliyaka says that the fact that there are people who only have 1,000, they show themselves they have 10,000. Yeah, and great, you know, homiletic pastor says that's the simon. That's the reason for the goals. He's supposed to. It's same thing over here. The ain kol yesh mis hasher ain kol mis roshesh v'honrav. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good day.